May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 969. 969. My song shall bless the Lord of all. My praise shall climb to his abode. Thee, Saviour, by that name I call, the great supreme, the mighty God. In 969.
From the Holy Word of God, let us read two portions. Firstly, in the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, and the first 11 verses. Firstly, 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 to 11. And then we'll read Psalm 102. But firstly, 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 to 11. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in thee, Lord. Mine horn is exalted in thee, Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as thee, Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto the king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house. The child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. We now turn to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted, when he is overwhelmed, and poureth out his complaint before thee, Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thy ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I am like an owl in the desert. I watch, and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down, My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure for ever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favour the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Let us pray. O thou most blessed God, in whom we live and move and have our very being, grant us a real spirit of prayer as we meet around thy word on this weeknight. O, in mercy, draw near. We desire to draw near unto thee. We really do. We need so much virtue from thee, so much help, so much mercy, so much forgiveness, Lord. We really do. Oh, we need exceeding abundant grace. And oh, Lord, we have so many infirmities. But grant that as we now meet, so conscious of our utter helplessness and conscious of all our shortcomings, even this day, all the shortcomings, Lord, we own, we feel, it makes us groan. Oh, we seem to be such prisoners to ourselves. We seem to be in such ditches and of dark places. Our soul longs to be free, and yet we're not ready to die. Oh, thou knowest the peculiar exercises that are in the earth, which we believe are thy, the work of thy hands, poor sinners in need, and we would be among them. Though our poverty does pinch us hard, we daren't make a religion out of being poor, but poor we are, destitute and helpless. But oh, as we come, oh, increase our faith. Oh, may we look unto thee at the right hand of power. Oh, thou who art the blessed and only heavenly potentate, the mediator, the man Christ Jesus, between our souls. Lord, poor, destitute worms as we are, and an infinitely holy God, yet one, though so holy, yet love, one who delights in mercy, the Almighty, gracious, full of loving kindness and truth, which we poor sinners need. Oh, we pour out our hearts. Do mercy, for in the oil and the wine of the gospel tonight, may there be something for us. Oh, we have to keep coming as sinners. When we were younger in the way, we didn't quite realise it, Lord. Oh, we did hope, perhaps, in a strange way and didn't quite realise, Lord, the strength of sin still in us, which is the law. We read the strength of sin is the law. It sews up all our uncleanness. And yet we would come in with the apostle, but where he truly thanked God, I thank God through Christ Jesus my Lord, that with my mind I serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. And we shall have that with us all our days. But we would see Jesus tonight. Lord, may there be something for us, a word in season. Or may there be, Lord, the dropping down of the heavens, the skies pouring down righteousness. Lord, time is so short. This year has so quickly run through. And Lord, our life seems to get faster as we get older. And oh, we indeed need such a preparation. We believe we can say, at least some among us, the mercy indeed, and we give thee the glory in this. We believe we have indeed, and knowing in our own soul experience such a sense of readiness. But oh Lord, how we are often so much more unready and far off. But one look from thee can make us whole. Oh, to come in as a shock of corn fully ripe. Believe we've seen little by faith, and know what it's have thy smile in the soul. And yet, Lord, here are we, we're such an offence. Oh, we're so wayward. We're so contrary to God and godliness. We live at a dying rate. But Lord, our help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So Lord, we thank thee for the opportunity and the measure of health and strength and the circumstance in thy kind and good providence to us, to allow us to meet together once again, and in this house of prayer. And of those who have gathered, and we hope indeed, in many cases, we hope with some exercise, longing desires. Oh, in mercy, thou kind physician, oh, pour in the healing balms of the sweetness of the truth of thyself. Oh, may they taste a living stream. May poor sinners be healed. May the weary find rest for their soul. May prisons be loosed. May sins be forgiven. May be there a rising of the Son of Righteousness upon us here tonight, with healing in his wings. Oh Lord, do work that mighty work of grace. We need in our lives. Go before us, Lord, every step of the journey. Lord, don't leave us to ourselves and don't leave us to a moment. May we be helped to trust. to really believe again and again the exercise of our soul, to know our help comes from the Lord, and therefore in believing to wait upon one so good, one who we believe to be blessed and good, one more full of grace and truth than we have sin and filth. Oh, what a God thou art. Oh, the provision of thee, the Lamb of God. Oh, may we see all things gathered up, Lord, in a precious Jesus, an ascended Saviour, one set down now forever at the right hand of God. So, Lord, minister to us as we now meet around thy word. We rapidly coming to the close of the year. We don't know the future with many fears. But Lord, bring us safely through into the coming year. Oh, we don't deserve any favours. But bring us safely through the next year according to thy good will. That we realise in praying these things an appointed time to man upon the earth, and not our days as an hireling we read. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt be with us to the end. Oh, bring us safety in the unknown that is before us. Lord, be better than all our fears. Lord, don't deal with us after our sins. Deal with us in covenant love and grace, we beg. Deal with us in thy dear, eternal, blessed Son. Oh, Lord, don't deal with us after our folly and ignorance. So hear our cries for thy guiding hand, thy mighty power. Oh, for thee to truly be with us every step and to follow that fiery, cloudy pillar, that thou lead us safely all our journey through. Make our crooked things straight. Bring us to dwell under the shadow of thy everlasting covenant, we pray. So remember us now. Think of friends in age and weakness, widows, the married, the unmarried, the lonely, the distressed. Lord, we pray for each in various walks of life, the mothers and wives in the home, the friends in the daily business, the labours of the day. Our dear young friends, we think of them affectionately and pray for them. Oh, pass by their souls and say, live. Those who walk in serious paths of affliction and difficulty, we pray for them and commend them unto thee. Remember those laid aside now, a number with infection, so common this time of the year. In each case, in mercy, do grant healing and restoration. Now sometimes, oh Lord, don't leave us to that, as we so easily say, well, it's only this or only a virus. And expect to get better soon. How sometimes these things can truly become so serious in a moment. Oh, what worms we are. So in each case, do put forth thy healing hand and in tender loves and mercies. And we think of those who would be here tonight and think of us, and we think of them and pray for them as we believe they pray for us here tonight. Remember each in office, give much grace, much wisdom, much godly fear. Direct this church and people in all things. Don't leave them to themselves. Keep them from quarrelling among themselves. May they be of one mind in the Lord. And may they each seek to take the lowest place and bear each other's burdens. And may there be then that right exercise in seeking thee in all things, for thy direction, for thy provision. So bless them, Lord, and add unto them such as shall be saved and in special need. Oh, whatever that need, Lord. Oh, be with us each. So bless us each in life's journey. Ah, those with many worries and concerns, the married and the unmarried, and those that are lonely and weak, and poorly among us, we pray for each. Ah, Lord, thy kingdom come. So bless this people. Take care of us in the wintry weather. Keep us from slipping And in our driving, also keep us from accident and keep us warm. We're so favoured as we consider, Lord, the life of those 100 years ago, how warm our homes are, how full are our cupboards. Lord, our cup runs over, but man grumbles more than ever. Save us from that spirit of the world, to have real contentment and real thankfulness, especially if we have a hope in the gospel. Because, Lord, if we have a hope in thee, we've everything. Lord, if we have an interest in thee, if thou art our portion, we have more than heart could ever wish for. Thou blessed God, oh, we want to be kept in a right frame, kept tender, kept dependent, kept love, kept at thy feet, kept in thy love, kept in tender exercise before thee. We pray for this. Remember, dear flock and friends at home, grant thy spirit there and bless each precious soul there. Lord, the hills of Zion, the assemblies of God, and the twos and threes that meet together. So often we feel real liberty among just two or three as one goes around. Ah, there is delight with those humble poor that meet around thy word. Ah, we pray for Zion. We pray for her peace and for her prosperity. And pray thy kingdom come, especially in this modern global age. All the chaos in the earth and the increasing chaos. And the tentacles of Antichrist, Lord, take hold of the face of the earth. And the hearts are turned away from God, both in this land and among nations. All thy kingdom come. May we be among those who are found with oil in our lamp. Oh, to be ready. Let us say what is unto you, is unto all, watch. May we watch unto prayer. Watch for our Lord's coming. May we be on our watchtower, both for the tender mercies of the Lord to come down, and on the watchtower for the enemy of souls, and especially the enemy within. Oh, we pray for keeping grace. But now we ask for help, Lord. Particularly this time of the year, we think of thy matchless condescension, the loves of our descending God. And oh, when here there is descend into the lower parts of the earth, and did descend into those hellish sufferings. But now thou art our ascended Saviour. Yes, in the court of heaven. So we live in a most blessed time in the history of the world. Lord, because our Saviour lives. Oh, the Lord is in heaven. Though there is a coming struggle, and though we see, Lord, evils abounding wax worse and worse, yet may we be helped ever to keep thee in view. One, who has finished our salvation, but thou wilt indeed bring us into travail, to be delivered both in our journey and in the tribulations to come, and to be delivered in death. So may we wait upon thee, the friend of sinners, but may thy name be as ointment poured forth among us tonight, and may we have some sweet exercise and meditation at this time of the year in Western Christendom that remembers thy birth at this particular time, though we know not the real time, yet, Lord, oh, to think upon thee. Oh, thy tender loves. Oh, thy matchless condescension, Lord, that thou didst dwell here with us as that tiny babe and didst give thyself over unto death. But now that mighty King in Jerusalem, the mighty God of Jacob, so may our eyes and hearts and affections and prayers be unto thee continually. So we ask the pardon of our many, many sins, We plead the all-prevailing name with thankfulness for all thy mercies. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Most joyfully comes. Hymn number 41.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to Psalm 102 and to verse 17. Psalm 102 and to verse 17. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. The psalmist, by the Holy Ghost, has wonderfully joined this tremendous truth with the building up of Zion. As we read in the preceding verse, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory, and he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And we read on, you see, that this shall be written for the generation to come, our generation, and to the end of time. And the people which shall be created, God's creation, we see the six-day creation, we're part of it, but this is the new creation of God, the work of grace in a sinner's heart. And the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. And again he repeats and sets forth very clearly the tender loves of the Most High looking down from his heights, his sanctuary, to behold, you see, poor sinners upon the earth. So we read, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. He will get to himself glory, and glory in the salvation of sinners, and glory in the so kindling life in their soul and bringing them to his feet, and glory in humbling them, and glory in visiting them and regarding them. And he brings them to those places where they stand in awe of the Most High and view it a wonder of wonders, the Lord should ever look down upon them. And when he does visit them, when he does set their souls at liberty, when he does regard their prayer, answer their poor prayers, you see they are humbled. I read, particularly because I had that word on my mind this morning as I woke up in the Song of Hannah, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. Oh, he says, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Oh, these dunghill beings, these my friends who know something of the mire and the dirt and their filth and their wretchedness, you see, they're set among princes. You know, they're the king's children. And yet, what are they taught and made to know in reality? Well, Hannah tells us, doesn't she? And you see these exercises throughout the whole of Scripture, don't we? The Lord dealing with the sons of men and bring them to his feet, bring to know their true state and their real state before God, to bless them, be with them, undertake for them, hear their prayers, and they're brought to those places. They can see they are not worthy the Lord should ever appear for them or undertake for them. So Hannah tells us, you see, she experienced it There are those here who know it. You know your own life, your own pathway. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. And the scriptures are full of godly men brought to humility, repentance and humble faith, and under the trial of faith. Like the apostle as he writes to the Corinthian churches, both his epistles to the Corinthians and elsewhere, he hints at some of the sorrows and distresses he passed through. And just his early call on Damascus Road, where he was 3 days and 3 nights, was he not in house, fasting and weeping before God and praying before God? But as he journeyed on and preached Christ everywhere, you know, he walked in the way that John the Baptist did. He must increase, but I must decrease. There's a decreasing in the exercise and knowledge here below. When I say the decreasing in exercise, I don't mean that the exercise dies out. I mean in this. We are emptied of ourselves continually. We are brought to see that we are declining people, fading leaves, blades of grass, withering away. And one thing is so vital: to win Christ. And so she says, you see, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill. Oh, these who live in dunghills, you know. Isn't it strange? This is so different to the life of a sparkling Christian, a self-confident professor, one who is at ease with himself all the time. But you see, here we have those who know what it is to live on a dunghill. To live with ourself is like living with a dunghill, isn't it? Not a very polite expression, I know, but it's scriptural. It is where Hannah was brought to. Oh, how she had that adversary. Obviously, we can see from consciousness that no doubt it was Peninnah, you see. She was so blessed, and how she felt despised. And she felt that reproach of barrenness, which was a reproach in Israel because of the promise, you see. And you know, this so shows the exercise of God's dear people. They are brought to see their own barrenness. And they have an adversary, the devil, who goeth about as a roaring lion to seek them and bring them away and to destroy them. To bring them to fret and to murmur and to query God. And so you see, poor Hannah was distressed. And you can see that Eli, though we believe he was a godly man, but he certainly had his weaknesses, and how he harshly dealt with them, misconstrued, misunderstood. And imagine she was drunken, though she was indeed not so sorrowful. Yes, her lips moved, but she was so distressed, it's her heart whispered before God, you see. But the Lord heard her. Tremendous truth, isn't it? So I want to look at this word, you see, and ever keep in view, it's related to the building up of Zion, you see. The building up of Zion. Let us be clear, my friends, in this 21st century AD, the Lord is building up Zion. Now I know you may say, well, we can see this here at Swayze and elsewhere. I'm not viewing it in just that way. The Lord's work will go on till the end of time. He will call sinners by his grace. The actual numbers are nothing with God. The election has obtained it. And therefore, my friends, I say very carefully and tenderly, and I mean this very tenderly too, it is encouraging that you have been favoured with those, I believe, gracious additions. The last few years, as it were. And may yet be favoured. But there may be many here who worship in this congregation, and I tremble to say how solemn it is. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed. It's a very solemn thing for me to say. But I must say it, my friends. A mere form of Christianity will never save a soul. You see, the Holy Spirit, he brings poor men to destitution. And he knows those poor sons and daughters of the heavenly King here this evening, who know and feel their destitute. Some of you may have made a profession. Lord has been your helper. You can't deny it. Be merciful to you. But you're brought to destitution. And I believe, friends, this is the part of the narrowness of the way, Christ. Why? We read in Isaiah, don't we? The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. No flesh shall go in his presence. The whole church is gathered in. Not resting on their profession. For the whole church is gathered in, resting upon Christ, the eternal rock. And they view it as a wonder and a favour of favours. The loves and wonderful condescending grace of God to save such a worm and such a sinner. But I want to ever relate this and keep it in view in the context, you see, when he builds up Zion. So what he does, you see, he takes hold of a poor sinner. It means to work in his heart, you see. This is the hewing out of the rock, isn't it? The rock of nature. Bringing, as we read in Psalm 40, bringing a poor sinner out of the horrible pit and the miry clay and setting his feet upon a rock. See, we're made so destitute, we long for the Lord's blessing alone. And this covers your whole life, the very hairs of your head, your details, your providence, your circumstances. Yes, your dying day. We're brought as poor men to commit our whole soul, life and body and service into the hand of him. You desire to do so. You don't always feel you can cast your care. You can't always get that liberty as you long for, but you're brought to want him, and you have to wait his time for the set time to favour you personally. Oh, you see, whether we view this building up as an individual pilgrim or the church in the general sense, all his people shall be taught of God. We read in Isaiah 54, don't we? Zion's children. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children, because Christ is their peace. Oh, this man shall make the peace, we read in Micah. And it's an everlasting peace between their soul and God. But you see here below where brought in need, brought into want. And I believe, my friends, we're ever made to feel our complete unworthiness, but I must now try and come to this verse 17. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. We're trying to look a little then at this destitute sinner, dwelling on a dunghill, in the dust, in the horrible pit and the miry clay. And then this tremendous truth he will regard. It means he will hear to bless. He'll enter in the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. It means his prayers will be heard, you see. Oh, he'll regard. That is to receive. Oh, to entertain. To bring into his company. To bless him. Hear their poor prayers. The prayer that does not despise their prayer. And I want to come to consider the ground upon which he hears their prayers. And the ground upon which he visits them himself. We have here a tremendous truth, have we not? See, Almighty God, that Ancient of Days can only bless you in His dear Son. You may query, perhaps, I know some do, whether it's right to speak of Christ as the Ancient of Days, because clearly the Ancient of Days is the Holy Father. But you see, my friends, His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Though we believe in most firmly. Ah, and it's made precious to the Lord's people, isn't it? A triune Jehovah, which is inexplicable. One vast eternal being. One God. And yet, eternally subsisting in three glorious persons. Co-equal and co-eternal, Father, Son and Holy Ghost. And in seeing Jesus, you see, the Ancient of Days. In seeing Jesus, you see, your Heavenly Father also. In believing in Jesus, you believe in the Son of your Father's love. And worship your Heavenly Father who loved you and gave His Son for you. In touching Him, you touch God. It is a divine mystery. We can never see God, for God cannot be seen at any time, but we see Jesus. God manifest in the flesh, very vital and sacred truth. And all the humiliation of the great and mighty God of Jacob, that He should condescend, the second glorious person, you see, who was ever with the Father, eternally begotten of the Father, came as a defenseless and helpless babe. Yea, to be held in arms and suck His mother's breast and be dandled upon her knees. To grow up in the ordinary way of life without sin, in sinless, spotless perfection. And whoever delight in Almighty God, His Heavenly Holy Father, and your Heavenly and your Holy Father, you who believe and are touched by grace. And grow up and lived for you. Died for you, tempted as you are, tempted yet without sin, in all points. Yea, who has made sin, received our ugly, ugly dunghill sins. Oh, these ranging hearts that range everywhere. Oh, have we not all got a nature that loves the world and loves sin? Do you rightly mourn over it, my friend, and grieve over it? What a mercy if you do. Know something of destitute, well, must hurry, I'm digressing, I know. But just ponder that, you see. Oh, this blessed God. So you see, my friend, it's not wrong to say the Ancient of Days dwelling in a manger. For Thomas said to Him, my Lord, my God, my God. Well, this great blessed God, He will regard the prayer of the destitute. Well, as you will realise, I've already hinted, you see, what is it then to live on a dunghill, to live with self, you know? To live with self, you know, live on a dunghill. You know, friends, if we are aware of the awful majesty of the Most High, the intrinsic holiness of too pure eyes than to behold iniquity, we're all sin. All sin, a dunghill. And you see now, a dunghill, of course, is a place of great stench and uncleanness and pollution and utterly revolting. And I believe that describes something of yourself when you possess your sins. When you possess your sins. And you know, friends, to possess your sins doesn't mean you have to go away and live a profligate life to possess your sins, you know. Many do that, don't possess their sins, they enjoy it. To possess our sins is to have to face what you can't face. To look at things that you doubt, you can't look at. Oh, you're brought to see things you never want to see again. to know things that you'd much rather not know. And you want a refuge and a washing and a shelter and an eternal rock. He will regard for the destitute. It means, friends, a vagabond, a vagrant. One with nothing. Nothing good. Oh, you see no fair pretenses in which you can approach the Most High and bring some reason for the Lord to bless you. But I tell you, my friend, he will open your mouth and you'll plead a reason in which way the Lord may bless you according to his goodwill through the merit of his dear Son. That's a wonderful thing when you begin to see that there is a ground. There is a hiding place. Oh, there is a merit. Oh, there is a sure approach. Oh, the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? And your prayers then will begin to take on a new dimension. Your brain begin to plead Christ. A blessed, precious Christ. But you see, friends, he makes us to know that we are devoid of any good ourselves. All these favours are in grace and mercy, you know. I had on my mind earlier in the day to try and, or thought of preaching on that word, from the publican. During this morning, wandering quiet, mind settling this Psalm 102, though my mind, of course, was already in Samuel, the prayer of Hannah, in this dunghill condition. But it did seem rather sweet to me this morning in thinking on these things. The cry of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, my friends, this poor man has to keep praying that prayer now. Yes, after so many years of preaching and so many years of profession, it's still a good prayer, a most suitable prayer for a poor sinner, you know. You see, you ask him for his mercy as a poor sinner. Now, the Lord taught very clearly that such a man is justified rather than the other who went in with a good prayer and plenty of religion with his prayer. But you see, he will regard the destitute, the sense who are also naked. Those without clothing, you see, are ashamed. Naked. Who perceive their true condition and have to realise, yes, original sin, which is so painful, and what springs forth, original sin, transgressor from the womb. We've gone forth from speaking lies. But he will regard. Well, you see, he raiseth up, you see, as we read here in Hannah's prayer and song of thanksgiving, really. That's what it was, you see. He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. You know, my friends, there is a refuge. There is a hiding place. There is a blessed one where sinners are invited. Imagine not how poor, how wretched, how ruined, how bad their case. Sinners are freely welcome still. The Saviour's blood to plead. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Tremendous truth, isn't it? And just before I pass on, you see, we perceive our dunghill and a destitute condition dwelling in the dust. Yes, as we get a solemn realisation and again of the depth of our fallen depravity, the temptations, you know, the rumblings within, the evil that is entertained in our hearts. But also in this, you see, in his dealings with us, I was pondering earlier today again, all the skillful way in which the Lord hides pride from man. His name is Jealous. And only he can deal with our pride, you know. That immediately reminds of that beautiful hymn of Hearts on a very ugly subject, you see. That pride is a long hymn, so we don't often sing it in Zion, do we? But it's good to read, you know, my friends. 287 on pride, you see. Innumerable foes attack the child of God. He feels within the weight of sin a grievous galling load. Temptations too without of various kinds of assault. Sly snares beset his travelling feet and make him often halt. But though the host of hell be neither weak nor small, one mighty foe deals wondrous woe and hurts beyond them all. 'Tis pride, accursed pride, the spirit by God abhorred. Do what we will, it haunts us still and keeps us from the Lord. Then he goes through where it comes into our prayers and exercises and the way we act and conversation and so on. It comes into everything, my friend. It's not easy to preach it to others either. I was very struck years ago, I was only a lad really, then a broom said how hard it was to stand in the pulpit and preach against pride. And though I didn't really, could enter into experimentally or spiritually so much then, you see. But it struck me, and how true that is, my friend. I must be careful, but we can be so pleased with your prayers and things you might say in conversation or from the pulpit. Man is so conscious of himself. He's got something about himself which he desires to be admired. It comes into everything, my friends. Therefore, it's not easy to speak of in public. But I do like the last verse. Here's salvation. Yet all our filth and dunghill wickedness, you see. Oh, the Lord can deal with it. Thy garden is the place where pride cannot intrude. For should it dare to enter there, 'twould soon be drowned in blood. So may we venture. Oh, to the footstool of mercy. That all our sins might be forgiven. But I was thinking earlier today, you see how the Lord has a perfect, a skillful way of dealing with our pride. He brings into trials and to galling situations. And he seems to be silent in our lives. You pray or exercise about many things. Sometimes you're encouraged in these things. At other times, oh, it seems, oh, you have to give up. And we're brought to see, my friends, that we're not our own. The trying of your faith. We're brought to see how small we are, how dependent we are. So often exercises, while of course we have to commit our way and so on, yet we're brought to see, friends, there's sometimes our own will working in things. The Lord has a perfect, yet very gentle, gracious, but firm and skillful way in which he brings us to his feet to say, thy will be done. To lose our own will and righteousness and desires that come in front or between your soul and God and in front of the chief exercise, you see. Oh, the wisdom of God. I speak very tenderly and carefully, but these things are painful to myself. For all poor men here tonight, my friends, and all need God's mercy. And a mercy, I say, a wonderful favour of God to your soul, if you're among these that are really brought to see and know how destitute I am. We're made to feel our destitute when we can't pray or the heavens are silent, they're like brass. When afflictions come and trials come and we're in deep waters and we cry and shout and he shutteth out our prayer, and there sometimes is barely a glimmer of hope as the storm blows strong upon us and our sins come before us and come to our remembrance, and we come to where the good man was in the word, remember not against us former iniquities. But we have a covenant promise here. He will. Oh, it's a definite truth. A holy statement of the Most High. He will, and it's related to the building up of Zion. Poor sinners shall be, their feet shall be placed upon a rock. Like, you see, Isaiah was placed in the cliff of the rock into Christ. Not Isaiah, I mean Moses was placed into the cliff of the rock. And you know, his dear people, destitute, poor, they're placed into that rock. So he says he will regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. I want to come to this regarding. Now, you see, this is a most wonderful favour of God. You see, dear child of God, you've got many exercises and there's many necessities and many things you have to keep bringing before the Lord. I was thinking, this afternoon, in fact, sitting in our friend's house, each dear child of God has his own peculiar case. And each dear child of God have their own grief and their own wound. Each dear child of God have those exercises. They long for the Lord to undertake for them this or undertake for them that, to appear in this or appear in that. It may vary from one person to another. And how we're made to realise our own barrenness, it can never be for our sakes, for his great name's sake. But his covenant is in pleading for his name's sake. As Jeremiah, for thy name's sake, he pleaded for thy namesake, O Lord. And so, my dear friends, I believe this is the very ground upon which he brings these poor, destitute sinners. Oh, to venture upon. Now, his covenant, he will regard. Now, this regard has this full sense in it, you see. He will hear you to bless you. He will hear you to answer. Remember in the scriptures, generally, though of course our relatives will vary from one particular word to another, according to the original, but so often the scripture, when the scriptures say the Lord hears, it doesn't just mean that he hears and that's it. It means he receives. He receives in covenant grace and love and will bless these praying people. You see. And that's the sense before us, you see. He will regard, take notice of, condescend to them. Oh, he will delightfully receive their poor prayers as they own their ruin and groan as prisoners before him. And oh, in the riches of his grace, he will bless them. He'll not despise their prayer. So the setting, you see, is this also, isn't it, that the poor sinners... prayer seemed despicable, really. For Nina, of course, with her success, and here was poor Anne, pouring out her complaint before the Lord. Ah, my friends, we read in Romans 8, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Ghost helps these poor sinners in their prison places, their ditches and their storms and their distressing things to still groan out to the Lord when all seems well nigh lost. Oh, the tender mercy of God, you know. You think of them on the Sea of Galilee. What strange petition they made. Seemed so much sin in it, didn't there? Master, carest thou not that we perish? And yet, in spite of their sin in it, he arose and rebuked the wind and the wave and reproved them. And I can say this from personal experience, and I believe some of you can. When the Lord is pleased to condescend and hear your poor prayers, it can also come with the most blessed and divine reproof. You're melted and humbled and crushed before the Lord, especially as you then get a real sight of how much unbelief there was with you in the distress. And yet, in spite of the unbelief that militates against you in your exercise, still the precious faith he's given you wrestles on and prays on and says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He will regard, he will give ear. My dear friend, you see, there's something very sacred here, as Job said, but he knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knew the way Job took. Do you know, and he wasn't pleased to answer Job at that time. Poor Job. What a destitute place he came into. Poor Jonah. What a destitute place he came into. We can say certainly concerning Jonah, it was his folly. Though his sins brought him there, that's plainly obvious from the holy record. You can't say that about Job though, can you? We can say it, my dear friends, yes, about poor Jacob, can't we? What can we say about ourselves, our many sins and follies? But wherever you may be in guilt and weakness and temptation and fear tonight, this covenant truth stands. He will regard the prayer of the destitute. In destitution, we do confess our true condition. In destitution, we confess our sins. But I see that time goes, and I'm struggling to get onto this everlasting covenant. I do hope the Lord will help me on this point. He will regard. Now I want to speak and set forth for his name's sake. You see, we can actually do nothing to please God ourselves. We cannot bring an offering. Can't promise to not sin tomorrow. Can't promise to improve our ways. I've struggled with that for years and years. I've never got better yet, friends. There is a name you may plead for sanctifying, saving, recovering, yes, comforting grace for your soul. A glorious name. A name above every name. He's given the name of his dear son. And it's through that worthy, worthy name and on the ground of his glorious, wonderful person in the merit of his life and the merit of his death and his resurrection and ascension. You see, the merit, my friends, of his divinity as God, the eternal Son, and the merit of the pure Son of Man in one glorious person, the God-man, he has promised to hear. But he will bring sinners to call upon his name. And you cannot approach unto your Father directly. He's a consuming fire. But he has declared the name of his Son, by which grace and mercy and truth are promised, and they're promised to flow freely to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. He will regard the destitute, not despise their prayer. He'll regard it to bless. He will loose these prisoners. He will remember them in their weeping their tears. He heard Cornelius in his weeping and his prayers and fastings, didn't he? And then he hears the prayers of his dear people. Oh, so he says, you see, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard, and he'll appear, you see, in his glory. I want to regard you. It means he hears you. There's a sowing in tears, a waiting time. Oh, we read in the wise man says, in all labour is profit. That's true naturally. It is so spiritually. It's good, my soul, to wait upon the Lord at all times and to trust in him alone, to commit your whole self, yes, humbly to him, telling him, yes, you're a destitute, dunghill sinner, and your wounds sting and your breath is corrupt and the grave is ready for you, as Job expresses it. And yet, for thy name's sake, for thy name's sake, says Jeremiah, do thou it. For thy name's sake. Yes, there is indeed a real pleading of him. Now, one way in which he will bring us in divine submission to give him the glory that he has a right and a prerogative over us. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I tremble to preach these things really, you know. I'm so frail myself. So weak and so sinful. I believe you see iniquity is brought to shut her mouth before the Lord. And yet to plead Christ. To plead Christ. Iniquity must shut its mouth at the throne of grace. You pour out in confession and plead Christ. Oh, you can't argue against the hand of the Lord. You may plead it for his name's sake. His name's sake. And you see, he appears in his glory to bless you. It's related. He will regard. He appears in his glory. The glory of his dear eternal Son. So, humble believer, he brings you to Christ for everything. That's what it really means, you see. You're brought to Christ. If the Lord didn't deal with us in these ways, you know, will we ever go to Christ? I don't think we will. We'll talk about him. Oh, we'll be religious and we shall have meetings and talk about wonderful truths of the Lord Jesus. That's quite different to going to him alone, on your bed at night, driving your car, out in the field, at the kitchen sink. A poor, destitute sinner. Lord, bless me. Pardon my iniquity. The Lord lays his affliction upon you. Oh, how you have to tell him your weakness and you're afraid. You need his mercy. You need his mercy to visit you in your soul, in your house, in your life. A godly friend said to me recently, and I can certainly accord with it because it echoed my own thoughts and heart. He said, all these things, you know, come to us in mercy. He lives over in Essex. Oh, we have to keep praying for his mercy. And they all come to us in mercy. See, it's the loves, the everlasting of our condescending and merciful God. He'll bless you in his mercy. When I look back over my life, it's been nothing but mercy and goodness. Goodness and mercy has followed me. And you, some of you can say the same, can't you? Goodness and mercy has followed you. But the psalmist says, and there is conscious, you see, of the shepherd, the care, the provision, the protection of the shepherd. And he concludes in that beautiful psalm, so well known, but, well, not often experienced, perhaps. It's sung more than it is experienced, no doubt. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, believer. That's the lot of a believer, you know. Follow Job. Follow Jonah. Follow Peter. Follow Abraham. It will follow you, believer. Oh, you see. Mercy will compass you about. Oh, he will regard, visit, hear. Open his ears and open his loving heart. Yea, receive your cries and commune back from the heavens, you see. Like Jacob's ladder. The angels ascending and descending. Oh, my dear friend, you see, the prayers going upward, the blessings coming down. He will regard. prayer of the destitute. And you see, he shows you the only new and living way. He gives you his flesh to eat, his blood to drink. And that's pleading him, isn't it? Of valuing him with an appetite. Do you see, my friends, there's one blessed way, Christ. Who lived, who died. Oh, his everlasting love fixed upon such a sinner. In bring you to an exercise to his feet. Bring you to destitution, the right place to his glory. His name is Jealous. He gets himself glory, you see. He brings you and I to our right place. Where's that? The feet of the Lord Jesus for everything. Everything. Never be ashamed to beg at the throne of grace. In pondering that word on arising this morning, which Hannah prayed, you see, he raiseth up the dust, the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar out of the dunghill, you see. I thought of the beggar that died. As we read in the teaching of Emmanuel, can the rich man and Lazarus, you see. Oh, the beggar died, we read. You know, every child of God is included in that, isn't he? Oh, the dogs came and licked his sores, Satan, molesting you and threatening you and wounding you, tormenting you, deriding you, having derision. Where's your prayers now? If you're a child of God, you wouldn't be here. Oh, in this condition. And so many torments at you, sir, yet the beggar died. The Lord's people are beggars, you know. But they plead Christ. And I believe your lips are prudent. My flesh is meat indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. Friend, it's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He will regard for his namesake, his precious namesake, on the ground of the merit of his offering for sin. You may plead his offering for sin. You may plead that precious sin atoning blood. You may fill your mouth with argument at that one holy place. You see, the Lord Jesus is in the holiest of all. In the Old Testament, no man could go into the holiest of all. For it's the presence of God. Only a fit man, an appointed man, anointed and washed, yes, in the Levitical priesthood. So only God's great high priest could go in. Once every year, with blood, into the presence of God. Oh, but Christ, by his own powerful blood, ascends above the skies in the presence of our God, shows his own sacrifice. Jesus, the King of glory, reigns on Zion's heavenly hill. Looks like a lamb that has been slain and wears his priesthood still. He ever lives to intercede. Ah, here we will regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. He ever lives to intercede before his Father's face in the holiest of all. Give him, my soul, thy cause to plead. Nor doubt the Father's grace. Your heavenly Father cannot lie in the holy swearings. He sworn by himself. He could swear by no greater of his dear eternal Son. He will regard. So my friends, you may bring your poor self. Tell him your secrets. Confess your sins. The devil will roar, but tell the Lord, you're weak and he is strong. He alone can deliver you from the snares and the bands of death. He alone can provide for you in all details of providence, in our exercise and waiting upon him. Ask him to help you to trust him. Tell the Lord you need more faith to trust him. Tell him, indeed, he's trustworthy, but you're weak in your believing, you're weak in your trusting, you're weak in your waiting, and ask him for help. Oh, the psalmist said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will regard. Oh, my friends, Despair, we have another year before us. The Lord be with us. Bring us into it safely. If it be in a conscious good will, bring us safely through it. We know not what a day may bring forth to any one of us, dear. We're poor men. But may he hear our prayers about our future, our unknown, the provisions of the way, our poor needy soul, our desperately wicked heart, to save us from our sins. You think of that precious name he's been given, named of God. You read in Matthew, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Blessed God. He'll save them from your sins. You can't save yourself from them. That's impossible. We're lost men there. But he shall save his people from their sins. Ah, my soul, wait upon God. If you're saved from your sins, you've a portion in Christ. And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And you're more valuable than many sparrows. He'll provide for you, lead you, guide you. But he brings you and I in our right place with blessed, blessed feet. There's no safer place than the feet of Emmanuel. Well, I have to close because it's nearly half past. He will regard, bless, visit. And I look back now, the many times he's regarded my poor prayers for his namesake alone. And some of you can say the same, can you not? But we're still beggars, and beggars to our dying day. And plead this precious promise, he will, for he cannot lie. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, do make us true beggars at thy blessed feet, Lord, and that thou be pleased to command those blessings we don't deserve, but we so much need. Oh, thy kingdom come, Lord. So bless thy own word of grace here tonight. Please pardon anything all spoken wrongly, and bless that which is thine, of thy blessed spirit, Lord. And now do grant us safe journeys home on this wintry night. Grant some sweet meditation this particular time of the year. Oh, of thy being manifest in the flesh. And bring us safely through into another year. May be spared to meet again in January according to thy blessed will. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach next Wednesday and Mr. Pack on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 37. Let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree, to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity. Our God, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. In 37.
our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.